The Get This podcast is brought to you by my WordPress web development agency brand, K2 Creative. You can visit getthispodcast.com/K and the numeral 2, that's getthispodcast.com/K2, and click book a discussion for a free 30-minute discussion on anything related to WordPress. I'll be happy to help. Whether you need a new website or you have an existing site, you're not happy with the speed, you're not happy with the security, you need plugins updated, you're having issues, your developer ran off to Costa Rica, you don't know where to find him or her, we can help. My team builds websites that drive millions of page views a year. We can help with membership, e-commerce. If it's in WordPress, we can make it happen. Visit getthispodcast.com/K2 and click the book a discussion link, and I'll be happy to help with whatever you need in WordPress. Hey everybody, this is Kevin Kautzman with the podcast Get This. It's the show about things people love, and I am coming to you from upstate Manhattan. It is Sunday, October 27th in the foul year of our Lord, 2019. I'm freshly returned from a week out in LA. We'll get to that, and I have a guest. He's a second-time guest here on Get This, Sean Phillips. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great, and as a second-timer, I must be pretty damn cool.
But we wanted to so we're unpacking the RV experience for you, because if you go back and listen to the first episode, Sean had just gotten off the road. I think somewhat recently you had planted yourself in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, correct?
Couple months in, I think. Yeah.
All right.
And something like that, couple months in.
Yeah, man. All right. So since this is the show about things people love, what is it we're going to talk about today?
God, what did I even put in your form?
Dude, we don't have to be married to the form. Don't stress out. I think we were going to talk
what
about...
What did I put in there? I don't know.
I'm not distributing that form to some RSS feed. There's nobody out there who's going to be upset if we don't talk about exactly what you mentioned. I know we wanted to talk about Tool.
Because we did. We did.
Right. Because, of course, I went out to... That's right. Fear Inoculum. So,
and then we're going to talk about the update with the RV experience.
Yep.
I think I sent you the link on top 10 words of 2019. in the title somewhere was sad fishing, which I had never heard that word before. But
all right, so let's call that, this episode is going to be called sad fishing.
Sad fishing.
That's maybe the fastest ever. That's tremendous.
I love it. Yeah. Sad fishing.
Right.
It's in the top 10. It's there's got to be tons of hashtags for it, right?
Premature titling this episode. Sad fishing with Sean Phillips. It's a show title. So let's unpack it. Let's go from one to the other to the words. Right. And I think we can definitely murder an hour. Oh, that might be the fourth thing we want to talk about is the famous local serial killer from Truth or Consequences, if you're open to talking about it. You down?
I could share what I know for sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Fear Inoculum first. What do you think about that?
It's, you know, I with Tool, as you know, with any of their albums, you really have to give those things a number of listens, and this is especially that kind. And we had exchange messages briefly about it, you know, a month back. And at first I was like, it's like the Danny Carey show, you know, guest starring Tool, because there was just really, his presence was way out there more than any of the others. And he's a great drummer and everything, but
yeah,
there still has to be some sort of balance. That was my first impression. That, and it sounded like Maynard Keenan's been listening to a lot of Ghost. With his, you know, Latin chant sort of sound he had going on. I don't know if you noticed that, but yeah, he had a lot of that da 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 da.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. All right.
A lot, at least two or three songs. So I was like, this is interesting. But I mean, Adam's playing is the best I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's pretty killer.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But yeah, just listening to it more and more, and I'm like, all right, this is good. And you got to expect with an artist, they're either going to do one of two things, do the same thing over and over, or they're going to try to grow, try to, you know, build on what they've discovered their, you know, their strengths are. So I'm like, all right. And I think I'm going to continue to listen to it, and it's going to grow on me more and more. And I think usually the best music is, like that, it grows on you versus that awesome hit. Yes. Love that thing. And then, you know,
yeah, absolutely. Here's a record that knocked Taylor Swift off number one, and it is comprised essentially of 7 10-minute long songs in 2019.
Yeah.
What are the odds? You know, if you had a bookmaker,
right,
say in 2019, a band is going to come along and be a number one album, the odds would be totally stacked against them, except for Tool.
Yeah.
And it's the only band working today that quite has that.
That says something.
Yeah, it really does. And, I got to see them live last Sunday in LA. Which is a bucket list type thing for me.
Oh, absolutely.
Although I'm too young to have a bucket list. Guy on the beach told me that. He's like, you're too young to have a bucket list. I'm like, I'll think
no,
about
you're
that.
Not.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Right. You better start, right?
Exactly.
No doubt.
You know, the sooner you have your bucket list, the more time you have to be able to fill it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You got to fill up that bucket. And wow, I got to tell you, it was pretty awesome. They still got it. And I was surprised. We ended up in this weird little section where 90% of the audience was standing. But for some reason, we had some clowns behind us who wanted to sit. And so that created a little weird tension, because there's no way in hell I'm going to sit during a Tool show. No way in hell. Not when they start breaking out 46-2. Forget about it. I'm not going to sit there with my hands folded over my lap. So that was a little awkward. It was very strange. It was this one little pocket of people, and I think they were like, I heard some statements out of them that sounded like they were maybe on acid or mushrooms or something. There's one guy who's like, does anybody else feel like they're in a giant beehive?
I'm like, oh my God.
I'm like, all right, man, you're at the Staples Center for Tool. So, you know, there are going to be people standing up and banging their heads a little bit. And
in a beehive.
In a beehive.
Every day of my life, pal.
Yeah, right. yeah. That guy's off to some commune now. The show was great. Just a few things real briefly. They did Anima right away. They did it as a second song, which and we're gonna nerd out a little bit on Tool here, so if you're not a Tool fan, just indulge us for a few minutes. But
check back in a few minutes.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, stay with us, but check back in 13 years when Tool puts out another album. I would just say go back and listen to Anima first. But they did that song, which, of course, you know, I was waiting for it. I was are they going to close with Anima?
Oh, absolutely.
But it was pretty fun to hear them do that in L.A.
Of course.
Because nothing would be lost if that town fell into the ocean. It'd be the best thing for humanity.
I imagine not, no.
I mean, you know, of course I'm joking. But, they did that, and then they closed with Stinkfist. It was pretty cool, man. The other big surprise that I had was, well, there are two surprises. They did a proper intermission, which I thought was cool. I'm glad they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the organ, or no?
No. No organ. they just did an intermission, and you know, which I thought was smart. One, I think that I wonder if they share in like the concessions revenue, because if they do, that's a smart move.
That's true.
And in addition, it gave everybody a chance to breathe and take a break. Probably them too.
Yeah. I mean, as an artist, yeah, get a little breather in there, because that's some deep, heavy stuff, you know, not just, you know, musically, but, you know, emotionally, as I'm sure. And then as a listener, as a participant, you know, viewer of this experience, like any movie, sometimes you're like, you know, I need a break from this for a moment, you know, like I can think of a number of films that I've watched where I'm like, all right, I need to pause this, step away.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so Yeah, they did that. And then the final thing I'll say is that I was very surprised at how well they played the new songs, how great the new songs sounded. I remember my favorite meme or sort of thought coming out of this when Tool released the new album was somebody, I can't remember exactly what the image was, but the gist of it, somebody was sweating or biting their nails or something, and it was the statement was, Tool cover bands listening to the new album. Because this shit is, I still don't understand what's happening some of the time. And I've listened to it probably 50 times at this point. I don't understand the rhythms and all the rest of it, but I do know that it fucking slays.
I would love to be a fly on the wall when they're like writing.
Yeah.
You know, just what is that process like for them? You know, because some bands, you know, it's like guitarist comes in here, I got a song, and everyone kind of, you know, figures it out or whatever, that sort of thing. But with them, just because of how everyone has these very intricate parts that play off each other, you know, that's got to be a much more organic process. I can only imagine. And that would be just for me as a, you know, audio creator, I would just, you know, nerdgasm off of that alone.
Absolutely. Just, you know. Yeah, and the songs arrive even more live somehow, which is crazy. I didn't appreciate the album. I mean, I do. I really appreciate the album, but yeah, man, I went to the show. It was fun. I'm glad I went. So yeah, check out Fear Inoculum. That's definitely something I love. And yeah, go to the live show if you can. It's worth it. Hopefully they'll be back with a new album in the next 4 or 5 years instead of 13.
You know, or at least in our lifetime or two. You
know. I have a feeling they're going to outlive us.
You think so? Maybe. Maybe.
You know, I don't know. We'll see.
Maynard's got a private, like, secret cloning plant underneath one of his vineyards.
Right.
Over
right.
in Arizona. No.
Yeah, right. It's possible. You never know, man. All right. So what else is going on, Sean? What was the second thing we were going to discuss today?
Let's see. We could, should we talk about the top 10 words?
Oh yeah. Let's talk about top 10 words. And then I want to get down to the RV life and what you've been up to lately.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We
have to do the sequel to the first episode.
We can get to the words quick.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Cause, we'll get to that anyway. So yeah, that was from The Guardian, the top 10 words of 2019. I love the title, canceled for sat fishing. Of course, I'm like, all right, I gotta read this. What's that about? I'm a sucker for good taglines. But what was it? Progue was one of them on there.
Do you have the list in front of you?
I'm looking at the list now. Yeah,
nice.
So the top 10. I don't know if these are in any particular order, but people, and they talk about. Talking about like the power of the people sort of thing, and that people's become like a different change of the word or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Top 10 words of 2019. You could find it pretty quickly under Guardian. People. Okay. All right. Prorogue.
And then prorogue.
What is that?
Yeah. Prorogue. Let's see. What do they say? It comes from the Latin verb to extend and contains the element rogare, to ask. As it turns out, there wasn't much asking involved.
We're
talking about the parliament.
Yeah, sure. Right. Well, I'm going over to London on Thursday, so maybe they can teach me how to pronounce that word, because I'm not sure we're pronouncing it correctly.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you can maybe throw that around like so you sound up to date, you know?
Sure.
Which is important with our media, you know, these days. Femtech. That is such a loaded word. Femtech. Like feminine tech.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah. Like fertility apps.
Ah.
That sort of thing. Ah. And it's just femtech. I don't know. But my favorite one is sad fishing. I love that. Sad fishing.
All
like they had to come up with a name for that for someone who posts online for attention, you know, like, I love it.
Let me read this.
Day, sad fishing.
Let me read this. So this article is from a fellow named David Shoryat Madari. excuse me if I butchered that. This is in the Guardian. You can find it. And it's dad fishing, one of those rare words whose origin can be precisely pinpointed to an opinion piece. In Metro in January, sad fishing, wrote Rebecca Reed, is when someone uses their emotional problems to hook an audience on the internet. She was attacking an Instagram post by Kris Jenner that teased followers with the promise of a confession by her daughter Kendall about some personal trauma. In fact, it was a marketing campaign for a skincare range. Barf, I am vomit. Sad fishing, that was me editorializing, by the way. Yeah. Sad fishing roared back into the news in September after a report commissioned by British head teachers suggested children who posted about their problems in social media were having the word thrown at them by bullies. It takes its place next to a series of terms related to online behavior that use the suffix phishing, including blackfishing and catfishing. Interesting. What is blackfishing? Right. Well, we got to find out, don't we?
I think I know what blackfishing is. I mean, using context here, I'm sure it has something to do with the Black Lives Matter movement and you know, the controversial aspects of that.
Well, what it's saying,
I'm almost positive that's what it is.
What it's saying here is that it's when you pretend to be black online.
Oh damn!
Can
really?
You, yeah, it's internet blackface. Can you imagine?
Wow!
Wow! People are fucking weird, right?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there was already. What was that? Wasn't she with the ACLU?
Yeah.
That woman.
What was her name? Dolezal.
Yeah,
Rachel
Dolezal.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that leads to another article, which is by the BBC, Big Black News. Blackfishing, the woman accused of pretending to be black. Aga is one of a number of white women accused of pretending to be black. Wow. Huh. All right. Well, we're living in strange times.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
Interesting and brutal. Yeah. Weird. Well, I don't... yeah, go ahead.
Well, sorry. I was going to say the next word, something that's all on yours and my mind, opioid.
Yeah, opioid. I'm getting robo-Sean periodically, Sean. So I'm going to... Let's disconnect and reconnect and see if we can get a better connection. All right, man?
All righty.
All right, be right back. Okay, so we're in the middle here of sad fishing with a new connection. Hopefully that's a little better. Sean is in an RV in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, so maybe we're not having the same connectivity you might expect if we were hardwired into Langley or something like that.
Yeah. We got some winds coming through. It's a, you know, energetic crossroads here, so things happen.
Interesting. Energetic crossroads. What is it? What do you mean? Yeah.
It's almost like Sedona. It's just... Some people might chalk it up with just weird coincidence or whatever, but you get, you know, like there's just kind of a something weird, you know, and a number of weird little things happen that go on in town. Someone with a coworker or you find a body in a pond or, you know, I'm not exaggerating.
Did you find a body in a pond?
I did not. There's a fish pond about a block away from me and they had all, you know, taped off. And this was maybe 2-3 months ago. And yeah, a middle-aged woman found dead in the pond.
Whoa. Oh no. What happened?
Yeah.
Is she okay? She's dead. She's not okay. But I mean, what happened?
Or maybe they didn't really release too many details. It seemed to be that she may have, gone in there and maybe hit her head or something like that. Okay. It didn't look like foul play because it was the middle of the day.
Mm.
So, yeah, but no, not a whole lot of details.
Well, there was a fellow who we don't know if it was, I haven't followed the story, but there was a story a couple of weeks ago before I went out to LA that said, a guy fell down a manhole here in New York and his body was recovered some days later or weeks later. He was decomposing. So watch where you're walking.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go ahead. Let's bash through this list and then I want to go ahead, Sean.
Yeah. Real quick, we'll bash through this. So, opioid, we talked about that already. Pronoun, that's hot. That's a hot word right now. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, people are let's slow down though. We're making radio here, Sean.
Pronoun.
Let's...
Okay. Radio.
Radio.
Yes, pronoun.
Yeah. So what are you reaching the point where you're ready to put your pronoun in your signature, in your email signature? Because I've seen that.
It's prevalent. I'm pretty conscientious when referring to other people because this may sound callous, but I don't have the energy to ask every person I interact with what their preferred pronoun is. I'm just going to automatically go to the neutral, they, them, when I refer to somebody. And that, I've always been that way, even before the word pronoun became such a hot hashtag. But for myself, no, I don't feel I need to. I'm a person that likes the reputation preceding me. So,
well, keep coming on the podcast, and eventually we'll know your whole life story. So interesting. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's tricky. It's going to be interesting to see it all shake out. I think sometimes this issue, this pronoun issue, does a disservice to people who are earnest about it because it feels like it comes loaded with all of the rest of progressive politics.
Yeah.
And you can tell some people are using it that way. They're using it as like a litmus or a shit test. And then I think there are people for whom it's an earnest thing. But unfortunately, all of that other stuff gets dragged into it. It also sort of has the feeling of a, there is a kind of quality, a cultish quality to it, which anything around forced language and turning the language over has that feeling. It sort of feels like being asked, have you been saved? Well, no. I don't, that's not something I appreciate having thrown into the conversation, So it's strange.
Right.
It feels in some ways like a hijacking of the conversation. But what do I know? I think if somebody comes to me and says, I prefer to be called she, I'll do my best to accommodate that. We all agree on names, right? My name's Kevin. Your name is Sean. Yep. People start calling me Kev, I kind of get annoyed unless they're very intimate with me. They're, good friends.
Right.
So, I'm just trying not to take it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm trying not to take it too seriously. Although, again, it feels like it comes loaded with all of these progressive assumptions. And that's something I think people need to work on. Eventually, maybe it'll become normalized. We'll see. Maybe everybody will include their pronouns in their signatures, but it remains to be seen, doesn't it?
I think we need about 5-10 years. Before we'll see how this kind of levels out. Because, everything, like you said, a lot of this is these concepts are coming up within a very social, political, turbulent time.
Right.
Well, so once that levels off into the next, 100 years of peace and prosperity as life cycles like that,
Or the next savage land war. All of this stuff will become extremely fringe again. We'll see. So much of it is being pushed by – so much of this is about what the media chooses to give attention to.
This is true, too.
Yeah, when there's a proper war, suddenly the news cycle fixates on that, and a lot of this stuff will kind of fall by the wayside for better or worse. That brings us to the next word. Sean, why don't you take it away? This is great. You brought up this is a great segment, man. Yeah. What's the next word?
You and I love words,
Yeah.
So I thought this was great. So woke. I remember this kind of coming up in the last couple of years, but definitely, this year. I used to joke that I was woke before you even were, went to sleep, sort of thing.
Mm.
But that's maybe a little insensitive. I take that back now. But woke, meaning, maybe.
No, it's immortal. Maybe. It's on the internet now, Sean.
It's immortal.
You can never escape it.
I'll own it.
Uh-huh.
Woke, meaning well-informed, first appeared in print in a glossary of words you might hear in Harlem in 1962.
Oh, wow.
Which, I love that. I love that. That's awesome.
Hmm.
It finally entered the Oxford English Dictionary in 2017, which...
Damn.
A couple years ago, I was just saying.
That's a long way from Harlem to 2017.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Okay, go on. Harlem in the 60s, and it finally hits the dictionary 50 years later.
Right?
Crazy.
Right?
Damn. Okay. Well, that's because the A-train never runs. That's the problem. The A-train's always shut down. It takes forever. It takes me 50 years to get to the Lower East Side. All right, go on.
And the same word travels fast.
Yeah, right. Bad news travels fast. That's what they say.
Bad news travels fast. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, with the definition to a racial or social discrimination and injustice. Mm. So it makes a potential word of the year of 2019. Put simply, woke has gone mainstream and in doing so has been subject to a bizarre transformation. End of 2018, Sam Sanders made a plea to put woke to sleep. He argued that any authenticity it once had was being lost due to overuse by white liberals.
Oh, there's nothing worse.
Leading to its,
its co-option by businesses. Oh, businesses going progressive is the greatest thing happening right now in the culture. It's just the best. I love being signaled to by billion-dollar multinationals. As per how they're on my side. I love that.
Let alone all the ads that you see on Instagram.
You know, we really should bring the word pandering back. Pandering might be the word of the
year. Yeah.
That's the Get This Podcast word of the year is pandering.
Pandering.
Pander woke.
I love it. Pander woke. That is going to be the name of my next album, Pander Woke.
That sounds like the name of a villain in Final Fantasy. Panderwoke. Like a 99X villain you can only kill with a certain combination of spells. Like it takes no damage unless you bring the right coalition of people together. Panderwoke. All right, go on to the next one. I really like this list. We skipped over a few of them. We really started with sad fishing, but go to the next one, Sean. This is a fun segment.
Yeah, nano influencer.
Ugh.
I was like, is that what? And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. A new economy. It's workers' relatable personalities who are letting you peek into their private lives. That's going to this Jenner thing with letting you in with the sad fishing deal. That's totally a.
Wow. You know what fucking annoys me is because this podcast, at least at this juncture, doesn't get a crazy amount of reach. It's a hobby project. It's something I love to do. It's a great excuse to chat with people and put some content out. I resent the idea that anybody would call me a nano influencer. it's so fucked up. Why do we have to keep the abuse of the language with portmanteau in the culture is so. Uh-huh. Aggravating right now. It's so tacky and it's so hack. Like I saw on LinkedIn last week, which I check periodically. I do business and it's something I have to check in on occasionally. I get proposal or RFPs through it. Yeah, and I network. Yeah. But I saw the word careerfluencer and I wanted to careerfluencer. You can put the word fluencer behind anything and now it's a word. It's so silly. So silly.
Wow. Career fluencer. That's
look at this. The latest is nano influencer. Someone who may have only 1,000 followers or so. They are supposed to be like you and me, and their endorsements come cheap for the brands that target them. As the digital economy penetrates deeper, with its nano dick. Penetrates deeper. Some people you know might already fall into this category. Maybe next year you will too. There's no escaping the hegemony of global capital. Your shit is for sale whether you like it or not. You're a nano influencer, sucker. We got you. This is so dark, man.
Yeah, it is. Oh, I'm still stuck on this career fluencer. I mean they take out the important
Yeah.
An influencer. Otherwise, it just becomes your career fluent is what that sounds like
to me. I don't even
know
what it means. It's career fluent. It's such an abuse. It's like this is – English is such a whore. And this is
– Yeah,
we're reaching – this. These are like blowjobs under the highway. This is what – this is what they're doing to the language.
Blowjobs under Oxford's desk.
Yeah.
You mean.
Right, exactly. Oh, it's so bad, man. It's just so dumb. All right. Let's – Go ahead. Well, and
cancel.
And this might be us after this episode.
It's exactly what I was thinking. Wow.
God.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Was it basically the short answer is you become no longer popular with your, you know, whatever, you know, in whatever medias, you're canceled because no one follows you anymore.
I thought about this word recently and how it's so suggestive of this new subscription economy that we have, because of course we're raising a generation of people who will never own anything. The most important things are all rented. All of our electronics are leased. And even if they aren't, they're built with obsolescence in, right? This laptop should last for 20 years, but it certainly won't.
Even property, you could buy a home, but you're still, you know, paying mm-hmm. for just to be able to have the home there.
Absolutely. You're right. Permanent renters in this new economy.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. And there will always be an owning class. They're out there, but they're increasingly rare. And the rest of us are just subscribers in life. We're subscribing to this capitalist hegemony. And of course, the thing that we would fear most is cancellation. So it's almost like a subscription word. And so people are no longer subscribing to you. And we should fear this.
No, great connection.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We should fear the hell out of this. This is very strange. The loss of a culture of ownership is going to have deep and widespread implications for Western capitalism. And our current systems. I'm not up on the language around this, but it's important. And so, yeah, I don't think this is a coincidence that this word has become the great boogeyman of a time where subscriptions now dominate. You don't have Hulu; you're borrowing Hulu.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, it also suggests, you know, how everything is mediated. It's that rent culture
mediated.
Yeah, it's that rent culture too, right? And you made the point. Yeah. It's with property taxes. What do you really own? What does your family really own permanently? So what? Right. Well, anyway, we could go on about this. So that brings us to hang on. Let me lead you into this because I saw something on Twitter last night where there's a thread going around right now where a woman has pointed out that every 35-year-old woman she knows is going through some low-level crisis. And that's the next word. Sean, take it away.
Oh, crisis. Every age has predicted that the end of the world is nigh. And I think we're going to have another podcast related to this. I have a personal story, actually. It's not about a crisis of mine, but just that concept that every age predicting the end of the world sort of thing.
Well, every religion needs its own eschatology. There has to be an end of days scenario for anything to really be properly understood to be a religion. Otherwise, it doesn't really have a complete cosmogony. So, yeah, of course, this new secular Western liberal capitalist hegemonic end of history religion that we are sort of forced to contest with would have its own eschatology, and it's going to be prefigured by a feeling of perpetual crisis. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, but with that, which is great because they said that because all of a sudden everything kind of every concept all of a sudden becomes sort of, you know, they talk about in the little paragraph about the climate crisis, the constitutional crisis, even down into little personal things. Again, we can bounce back to the gender thing earlier on about, you know, their little crisis about skincare, you know, or whatever that is. And everyone can come on there tying back into sad fishing and whatnot, like I'm having this crisis. And it becomes a religion of sorts.
The crisis that I'm having right now is that I've realized you can have 1,000 followers on Instagram and get paid to wear a shoe. I'm leaving money on the table, Sean. I want,
man.
Wow, what an interesting segment. So again, we just read the 10, what are they, canceled for sad fishing, the top 10 words of 2019 by this David fellow. This came out pretty recently in The Guardian. Have a gander. I think it's fun. Yep. I like it. Words are fun. If you're running around calling someone a nano influencer, though, kill yourself.
Yeah.
You might as well be, you jump off the GW bridge, die. We don't.
No,
we,
not kill we, yourself. Cancel yourself. Cancel yourself.
No. Nano cancel yourself.
Nano. Whoa.
Yeah. Right.
In the meta.
Right.
Love it.
It just, we're just going so hard today, Sean. I don't know what provoked this mood. I just hate these new portmanteau, and I can feel somebody hiring a ghostwriter right now to write a book about nano influence. I can just feel it. I can feel the slime percolating here in Manhattan.
Oh, it's already in the works. Oh, you know it.
God,
it's going to come out next year. It's going to come out next year.
These people create these bullshit made up words, you know, put their names next to it, and suddenly they have speaking agents, and they're going around doing TEDx's and telling you how important it is to smile on LinkedIn while the world around you burns. You drive around LA and people are living in tents and shit. You go, what? What is happening to this world? What is happening to this country? The creation of jamming two words together does not make you smarter than other people. It doesn't. Oh my God! It has to stop.
No,
but it's never going to stop.
And in 5 years or less, these words are going to be like, you know, yesterday's, you know,
of course,
game system.
Everything like, yeah, is that's so date, faddish. Whatever. Yeah, everything is so faddish. It's galling.
Disposable. They're disposable words.
Absolutely. Yeah. Somebody right now is writing their chapter on nano influence, and they can't wait to put a white paper out about it on LinkedIn. You just go like, oh my God,
right.
When is this ever going to stop?
well, it's going to be monetized.
Of course.
It'll be monetized.
Nano monetized.
Nano.
Just these. Oh, it's so stupid. And it's this. It's this.
Do you remember do you remember when the word nano was actually like kind of cool?
Yeah,
nanotechnology. Yeah, you know? Well, that's cool. You know,
I don't know. Dude, it just. Oh my God. It's just. Everybody's just trying to cash in before the fall. Everybody knows.
The horse has already been turned in for meat and glue. Stop kicking it.
Right. Your child is already eating the horse by way of glue. So yeah, relax.
It's done.
Dude, done. We could just, this is so fun. We could create a little app that would just combine these words. I had a nano crisis on my way to the woke meeting where I had some ambivalence about my pronoun. So I had to take some opioids. I then got an addiction, which led to sad fishing. So I was canceled.
And my crisis.
Yeah, right.
So now I'm in a crisis.
Right. Now I'm in a crisis.
Well
but,
done.
But
it's
I have
like,
an idea.
It's like
for,
Mad Libs.
Yeah, but now I have it's, but it's, I have an idea Mad for a femtech startup. People.
And I think I speak for both of us. This is in no way either of us discrediting anyone who is genuinely,
of
you know, feeling
not.
Or experiencing yes. things that related to this.
Right.
But it's weird. We're definitely ridiculing the overextending of labeling.
Yeah,
I guess the deep crevice off the cliff that society's gone with that, because you got to have a word for everything.
Right, everything has to be labeled and understood. And
yeah, if you're gonna have a word for everything, learn German.
Yeah, man. I don't know. It's just this you is know. Just quite a list here. Quite a list. I like that. The word opioid is jammed right next to nano influencer.
Interesting.
Yeah, right?
Right?
Weird.
I mean, out of all those words, the one that really like, all right, this is actually an important thing to be kind of focusing on.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Right.
Out of everything else is just, you know, bland.
Well, language is fun and wild and it wacky is. And weird.
It is.
Sean,
it's interesting watching it evolve.
Yeah, it is.
You know.
Yeah. That was a fun, humorous segment.
Yeah,
I stand by nothing I just said. And we're just trying to make radio here. We're trying to have a good show. Waxing poetic and just riffing on some really silly things. I just don't know what it is about that word nano influencer that makes me just feel stabby. It's probably the word influencer. Influencer is like is thought leader adjacent. It's just. Aggravating to no end how they've turned
us
all.
At least they didn't say nanofluencer.
Oh man, yeah, right.
What?
Yeah,
nanofluid. What?
Yeah,
is that a new like hair care product or something? Nanofluencer.
I just don't. I don't know where we're headed in this
electrolyte water.
I don't know, man. It's strange days. Strange days and strange nights in 2019.
Great. Indeed.
Well, so let's talk a little more about that RV life here, Sean, and which is something that you love and you're into, and you're still making it work, huh? When was the last time we spoke? Was it this year? It must have been this year. It's probably been like four or five months.
Yeah. It was this year.
Yeah.
I want to say it was before it got hot here, so it was probably late spring.
Okay.
I want to say. And we went through our hot months, and we're actually a little over a year into this journey altogether. It was September 30th when we left our apartment.
Well, bring people up to speed who haven't listened to the first episode. Do a little exposition. Well, so go. Of course not. Why would you listen to an episode that you're on? It doesn't make any sense. You're not that narcissistic. You're nano narcissistic.
Nano nurses.
Let's just put the word nano in front of everything.
Nano.
Yeah.
Nano everything.
Nano. All right. So you left your life in Minnesota.
Recap.
Yeah. Recap.
Yep. Yeah. Recap. So September 30th, 2018, we got in the camper, left Minneapolis. End of October, we end up in Fairplay, Colorado.
Fairplay, Colorado. We were there.
Yep, that's right up there in the mountains. Fairplay, the town that South Park is based on. No joke. I think we talked about that in the last episode. We were there till towards the end of February. Then we came down here to Truth or Consequences, and that's when we talked. Was after we were already here. It is now end of October. We'll probably be here till April-ish, and then we're going to start heading to the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, so you are leaving Truth or Consequences to go to the Pacific Northwest in April.
Yep.
All right.
Got family and friends up there, and then we'll be there a few months, and then we'll head back to the Midwest, see people before we get out of there, before the snow falls, and then who knows from there.
So you are really seriously living in an RV, and you've got a plan for the next, sounds like 12 months or more, right?
So far, I mean, we wanted to at least do this as a 5-year and then see, you know, check back again, like, okay, do we still want to do this sort of thing? But yeah, we want to kind of stick with the 5-year plan of traveling in this.
Love it. And what's life like down in Truth or Consequences? I recall the last time we spoke, there was you had some jobs, some work was going on. It was a very quirky place. How quirky? Somebody found a body in a pond nearby. There was a serial killer who
found a pot.
Mm-hmm.
The toy box killer. People can look this up. This happened here. This was a number of years ago. Toy box killer. I don't even know if I need to go into too many details, but basically he had a trailer with a something that you'd see on it, like Saw, basically, or one of those kind of a
gruesome,
dark, BDSM related sort of thing, and I'm pro BDSM, but this gives it a bad name. He picked people up at the bar, and his wife and I think his daughter were involved in this too.
This has nothing to do with BDSM. This is some next level.
This is
dark,
right,
horrible stuff. And if you're not into serial killer talk or all the rest, trigger warning or whatever. It's I looked some of this stuff up, and it's horrifying. How many victims did he have?
God, they actually don't even know.
Oh, geez.
Because he's claimed, so many, but they've never found any of the bodies. And the only reason why this guy got found out was it was a very Twin Peaks Teresa Banks moment where she escaped, and came to town, was all naked, and they discovered her. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Very.
Well, it looks like it was one of the early episodes. Well, I don't know how early, but in 2017, the last podcast on the left did a Toy Box Killer episode, so I may go and listen to that.
Did okay,
yeah, because they'll do
I'll check that out,
more justice than
more
we could.
Detail.
But talk about. I mean, is it a topic of conversation around town still? Is it?
Occasionally, they'll make a reference to it, but then it's just people don't talk too much about it because it's just kind of, like the bar that this person. What I heard from someone in town here was the bar where this serial killer would pick up his victims. They have since like replaced all the bar stools.
Sure. Jeez.
Weird like that. So, not just a couple of months ago, the wife was released from prison without any, what do you call it, you know, parole or, you know, anything like that going, just straight out released. And there was a bit of, you know, mixed feelings about that went on. But yeah, otherwise, you know, you can ask about it and people will share a little bit, but, you know, they're uncomfortable about the whole thing because it, you know, it was local right here. Yeah, I mean, man. This town's only 5,000 people.
Damn, dark. He looks like he's the type. Terrible. That's horrible, man. So what else goes on down there when you're not?
Anyone listening to this that's either lived in the Midwest or has visited Midwest or is familiar with it knows that, you know, most small towns you have a equal amount of bars and churches, sort of thing. It's different here. You have one bar, you know, a average amount of churches that you'd find in a, you know, small town like this. But what you do find are an equal amount of restaurants and art galleries.
Ah, so it's a little more cultural, a little quirkier.
It's a quirky, artsy sort of place. I mean, and for a small town of 5,000 people, there's, God, probably almost a dozen, you know, art gallery, art shop type of things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, you know, everyone's got a restaurant with odd hours and everything. But there was a film festival here just last weekend, I think it was, or yeah. Weekend before.
Sure.
Yeah. And a crew came from New York and kind of helped set up. And it was all over town. They had TVs up playing art thing, you know, art videos. They had a little film festival in the Space Visitor Center here in town. Number of people had installations all over. My friend, cool. Kate Hall. Yeah, my friend Kate Hall, who runs the artist retreat here, had an installation. I did some audio for it. Some of it curated from Year of the Buffalo. And it was based off of hot air balloons, which New Mexico is known for.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of fun getting involved in that a bit.
What have you learned about the RV life since we last spoke?
Oh, what have I learned about the RV life? Terry and I often will talk about how we're thankful we built the thing, you know, completely remodeled the thing versus getting something off the the lot. Our insulation has been great for summer and winter, 3 times the insulation. We don't have any of the weird little problems that a lot of other RVers have, something failing or something falling apart. Like, we built this, we know what's going on. If there's something wrong, we're able to fix it quickly. So being more hands-on, I think we've been appreciated. But as actually learned, nothing new compared to last time we talked.
Well, it sounds to me, though, that insight is important, this idea that because you built this thing on your own, you know it maybe a little more than somebody who picks it up off the lot and then doesn't know why something's busted or, right?
And the reason why that's important is, especially when you get out to the West, and probably the East, too, because there's not as many places like parks or you know, like state or national parks out East. Is finding an RV repair person is kind of few and far between, who isn't going to, you know, charge a lot or isn't even going to come to you or, you know, those or isn't even going to be around. You know, there's like in Colorado, I remember when we were up in the mountains, there were 3 people that could possibly, you know, see. And one, you know, was able to come out to that area. So, I mean, only small amounts. And so even here, too, there's maybe a couple within a 50-mile range. And so learning how to be able to take care of your stuff yourself is super important. Because otherwise, being in an RV is being self-sufficient.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they go hand in hand.
No doubt. Well, Sean, here I want to ask you as we wind down, are you willing to come back on the show after you make your move to the Pacific Northwest? I want to hear more stories, man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the plan is the trip will be about 3 weeks.
Cool.
You know, we're going to hit Grand Canyon. We're going to hit Lake Tahoe, I want to hit the sand dunes in Oregon, the inspiration for Frank Herbert's Dune.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I think that'll be kind of neat to see. And Terry hasn't seen the gorge from Portland to the Dalles, you know, from Oregon Trail sort of thing. Beautiful.
Isn't one of the songs, I think one of the interstitial tracks on the new Tool album is French for Fear is the Mind Killer. I think so. I think that's what somebody said from Dune.
I'm going to have to look at that. Yeah. And Terry and I, we both love Dune. I mean, she was the one that actually pushed me to read the books. So, mm-hmm. Love that. Trying to think, what else RV-wise? Mostly been just doing a little. One thing you do learn, especially when you've, whenever you build, like whether it's a home or, you know, whether it's like a trailer home or like a stick and brick home or any sort of space, you kind of have a vision of what you think is going to work. We need a light here. We need this over here sort of thing. And then when you actually live in it, you start to find, okay, well, maybe that didn't quite work there. We should have had it over here instead. Mm. So you start to learn space arrangement. Definitely.
Ah, the feng shui of RV.
Space. Yes, absolutely.
Well, you know what this is? You know what this is, Sean? You're nano living. See, I could put this in front of
I can put the minutes, how long you get
there. I'm a nano thought fluencer right now.
Nano thought.
Every statement
I make.
That's
a tongue twister.
Yeah, I'm nano thought fluencing you as we speak.
Nano thought fluencing.
Man, I'm just waiting for the publishers to call and offer me a deal. It's amazing. Yeah. We could co-author it. Nano thought fluencing. Lessons from the nano life with Sean Phillips.
The nano life.
Yeah.
There's one. The nano life.
Yeah. Yeah. We used to have full lives, rich full lives with families and community, and now we just have nano lives.
I'm going to predict that is going to be a TV show of some sort, a serial, a reality show within the next 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
The nano life.
The nano life. Sean, it's been great having you on, man. Come back on when you make your next move, and I want to hear more stories about the American West and living in the RV. It's a pleasure to have you on. We're at Get This Podcast. All right, my friend. GetThisPodcast.com. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. And if you go to GetThisPodcast.com, you'll find it. This is Kevin Kautzman. And Sean, thanks again for coming on, buddy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin.
Nano thanks. Bye-bye. Later. Thank you.